All right, everyone, thank you for tuning in to Shieldcocks Happens, sponsored by Prospect Bomb and the Dustin Shieldcocks Foundation. A lot of good stories, a lot of good news, so stay tuned, plug in, and enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Shieldcocks Happens podcast. My name is Dustin Shieldcocks, and with me always, Jameson Brown. And Jameson, today we've got an awesome guest. He's an inspiration to me, and Eric LeGrand. I'm excited for you to hear the story. It's going to be good.
I'm excited about Eric. You know, for sport fans, sport enthusiasts, I think you know a little bit about Eric. I mean, you couldn't help but see a lot of the stuff that he was doing. When you told me that he was coming on the show, I got stoked. I mean, I got starstruck, and hopefully I get a chance to tell him that. But yeah, I mean, that's Eric's a great guy, and I'm excited to kind of see the conversation between the two of you. So
yeah, Eric, I mean, it's like I said, we appreciate you having you on the show. How's it going?
What's going on, man?
Hey, I appreciate you taking the time to do this with me.
Hey, no problem at all.
And also, I want to introduce you. With me right now, I have my buddy Jameson Brown.
Eric, how you doing, man? It's a pleasure meeting you, dude.
What's going on, Jameson? How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. I just I got to tell you, man, it's an honor when Dustin told me that he was speaking, we were going to speak with you in regards to everything. I got excited because, I mean, I think I watched your whole ESPY scenario when you accepted the award back in 2013, and I watched the video on ESPN that they put together for you, and I tell you, man, your story is inspiring. So I got a little bit starstruck at first. Let's just be honest. it's a big deal.
Regular dude from Jersey.
You know what though? But you're a regular dude from Jersey changing some lives. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, man, just trying to inspire people day by day, man.
Yeah, well, all right, Eric, I appreciate it. Like I said, if you want to just tell us at the beginning, you know, tell us about your life and, you know, go ahead and start.
So my name is Eric LeGrand. I am a former Rutgers football player who played from 2008 till 2010 until I faced a paralyzing injury on October 16, 2010. I was living my dream in college. I was in my junior season, halfway through the season as I faced a paralyzing injury at MetLife Stadium playing the Army Black Knights. And ever since then, my life has changed, but I think it's changed for the good for sure. I've been on so many journeys that I never thought I would be on. Gotten to meet some incredible people along the way that have joined my family, my friends, and just a support system, and just found a newfound appreciation on life and to take things day by day and not take things so serious. But I'll bring you to that exact day on October 16, 2010. Just tied up in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes left. And I was running down on kickoff, and my teammate got down there a little bit before I did, and he tripped the guy up. And I went to make a tackle, thinking I was going to use my shoulder, but my head got into the tackle. And it actually, as I had the injury, was me going full speed and going full speed. And they said I was like the fastest man in the world when I full speed into a brick wall. So that's what caused my paralysis. And I remember laying down the field and having all the trainers come running up to me, and I couldn't move and I couldn't breathe. But that was the scariest part, not being able to breathe. And as they bring the car down to the field, you know, my coach is just telling me that I have to pray and things like that. I'm thinking, you know, my life is over. I can't move. I can't breathe. And now my coach is telling me to pray. And I get carted off the field and into the ambulance, and after that, a lot of stuff is a blur from there.
That's, you know, it's like you think about, you know, people talk about that Hollywood ending, but that's like the crazy part of a Hollywood finish. I mean, it's, you think about these sports movies and things like that, and you think about something like that, and you think, where would you be in that position? I mean, you know, who were the, you had your coaches on the field. Was there family that came on the field? Was did you have your mom out there? I mean, who was the first person you saw? Was it a coach?
Well, actually, the first person I saw was Daron Harmon, who's actually the safety for the New England Patriots.
Nice.
He came over to celebrate with me, and he saw my face right away. And also, and my other teammate, which is crazy to say, Patrick Kivlahan, who now plays for the Cincinnati Reds. He has his own crazy story, but those were the first two people to come celebrate with me, the first two people I saw. And they looked at me and they knew right away that something was wrong.
They realized it wasn't a celebration anymore.
Exactly. And the trainers right after that were just right in my face. And those were the next people I saw, the trainers.
So, Eric, when that happened, like, you know, when they were carting you off the field, did you know, like, how the extent of your injury? Or, like, I mean, obviously, so you're, what's the level of your injury? Like, how far can you move? And, like, what's the extent of it?
Well, I fractured my C3, C4 vertebrae. I was, you know, initially, you know, paralyzed from the neck down. Uh-huh. Diaphragm paralyzed. I was on a ventilator. I was on a feeding tube. All that good stuff right there. But I've been able to recover from a little bit down. I've been, you know, moving my shoulders down fully. Nice. I'm off the ventilator. I can eat solid foods. I don't need a breathing tube or anything. So I've recovered, you know, a lot of sensation throughout my body, stuff like that. But when I got initially was getting carted off, I actually thought I had a full body stinger. Like, I played football. I've made a tackle before my shoulder, and it went completely numb when I was able to move my arm for a few minutes. So I'm thinking, maybe I did that. And then I thought I knocked the wind out of myself, actually, because when they lifted me up on the cart and to put me onto the cart that was taking me off, somehow I caught a gasp of air for a second. So I'm like, okay, I knocked the wind out of myself. You know, I'll be able to breathe in a few minutes, and I'll be able to move in a few minutes. That's what I initially thought.
What? And I don't know if this is too difficult of a question to ask you, but, you know, if you don't want to answer, don't answer it. But you're at the hospital and you're laying in bed, doctor comes in and gives you the bad news. What's the first thought that came to your mind?
Well, see, my story's a little bit different when it comes to that. When I got to the hospital, since my level of injury was so high, they're worried about keeping me alive. So they had me so highly medicated, I don't even remember what was going on. At first, I got hurt on Saturday, and I don't remember much until Wednesday. Wow. So I always try to tell people, the people around me had it 10 times worse than I did, because I was so loopy and out there. Like I said, I can't remember anything. I was so highly medicated, but I'll never forget my mom telling me the story when after they did the MRIs and CAT scans, and two doctors came running into the room. It was my mom, it was my one of my teammates, and my teammates' mom and dad were also there with my mom at the time. And they came in there, and my mom said, I mean, the doctor said to my mom, okay, your son is fractured his C3, C4 vertebrae. He'll be paralyzed with the neck down for the rest of his life. He'll need a ventilator for the rest of his life. He'll never eat solid foods again. He'll never walk again. And we're hoping he's strong enough to make it through the surgery. So you can only imagine how my mom felt after hearing that. My teammate, Scott Malone, he kicked the door open, busted out the room. And excuse my language, but he goes, I don't want to hear that shit. And he busted out crying on the ground in the middle of the hospital.
Wow.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. I mean, those were, you don't think about, I mean, I obviously haven't thought about it until he said that. The people while you're being injured, you know, the people who have to.
Sports team.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. And I mean, it's.
So.
It was wild, man. It got pretty wild. You know, in the beginning, it didn't look good at all. Not at all.
So. The question I have is, you know, because a lot of people would take this a different way. I mean, obviously, you've taken this path to better the lives of people around you and almost inspire people to look at a scenario and say, all right, if he could do this after that happened, then I should be able to take this. At what point did you realize that you were inspiring people? Was it the way you reacted out of the hospital? Was it life after the hospital? Was it, you know, at what point did you see yourself inspiring other people around you?
It was when I was continuously getting letters from all over the place, from people in the NFL, the coaches in the NFL, random people reaching out to me from China, Australia, Africa, sending me letters, people I haven't seen in years. coming to visit me at the hospital. And this is, I'm telling you, on a daily basis. This is every single day. Something new. Somebody knowing me. Like, so, you know, getting me excited that Andy Reid was with the Philadelphia Eagles at the team as the head coach. Stopping by. Tom Coughlin was the head coach of the Giants.
So cool.
Coming by. The rookies of the Giants coming by. Then all of my family, my friends coming by. People I haven't seen since middle school. And then from there, it's like, okay, what can we do for Eric? Then as people started doing fundraisers and making T-shirts and bands and you know, stuff like that. And then people are buying them like crazy. And then people start doing stories on me. And it's just like right from the get-go, everyone was supporting me. It was just like, wow, this is incredible. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, yeah, at what point did you just get starstruck with yourself, man? I mean, it's like, wait a second, hold up. I just met all these people. I got magazines and T-shirts. I got some kid who's like 6 years old walking around with my shirt with my face on his shirt. I mean, you know what I mean? That's just crazy. But
that's exactly what it felt like in the beginning too. Before, like when I first met the coaches, I thought it was awesome because I didn't realize I wasn't going to be playing football anymore because they came in, you know, within a week of my injury. So I'm thinking, this is perfect. I'm going to be a first round pick now. These guys are coming to see me. Once I get back on the football field, they're going to remember my name and stuff like that. I thought it was awesome. But of course, after I realized, you know, a few weeks later that I wasn't going to be playing football anymore.
So
to see that support was insane. It was just insane. It was so overwhelming. People were every day, like my aunt or my friend would come in to the hospital, like, you're not going to believe this. Who reached out to me here, or who did this, or who's wearing your shirt every day, or something like that.
So your life takes a turn that most people would never see actually happen, and which is miraculous. I mean, let's call it for what it is. All of a sudden, you've got these different opportunities that come up. You know, tell us what it was like. I guess you could look at it from the standpoint of, I guess, from the ESPN side of it, and then also from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, what you felt like being in front of those audiences and what you think, what you think your scenario helped with people within those audiences.
So, yeah, as you know, time went along and I started to get better and people, you know, wanted to be a part of my story and part of my journey, you know, people started paying more attention to it, and, you know, I wasn't going to shy away from the limelight. You know, I wanted to, you know, give enough awareness about everything, and I wanted people to keep on believing in me that I will walk again one day. So every time I can give them an update from therapy, I would try to do that. Every time I could go on, you know, my Twitter or whatever, answer some questions, I would try to do that. Just keep people engaged in my whole situation, my whole story. From there, I started leading to awards and stuff like that, and well, when I got the ESPY award, I had given a few speeches beforehand, thank God, so I wasn't all nervous. But I went up there, and it's funny, too, because when I give my speeches, I don't write anything down. I speak from the heart. I feel out the room, and I go from there. And I remember all day long, my two friends, Brandon Hall and Joe Seller, I went to high school with, they're all like, man, you're not going to write nothing down. All these people are going to be there. You're going to be in front of millions of people on TV. And you got to do it, man. You can't just go up there and say, I'm like, guys, I got it. I got this. Don't worry about it. Nah, you're going to embarrass yourself up there. And I was like, guys, relax. I'll be just fine. And my mom was like, this is what he does. He does. He never down. Yeah. So I went out there. And when I said to myself, you know what? I'm not going to look down in the front row because then I might stumble over my words or get starstruck because you got guys like Eli Manning, Tim Tebow. I mean, Kenny Chesney was hanging out in the front row there. I'm like, you know what? Let me look towards the back of the room where I can't see anybody's faces, and I'll go from there.
Wait, hold on, man. You did look down the front row because you realized Kenny Chesney was in the front row. So obviously you had to look at some point.
Well, that's the reason why I do that. He was in the front row because he was actually sitting a few seats in front of me before I had to
go. Okay, there you go.
But he was sitting right next to Bubba Watson. So there was every type of celebrity there, from football to golf to country music. Like, everybody was there.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, so Eric.
So, yeah, it was pretty incredible, man.
No, that is incredible. And so as you're going through doing all these interviews and obviously, like, you're still working on therapies and you're going stuff. I mean, what kind of drive are you doing now towards, I mean, helping other people who are just in like wheelchairs and, you know, being that inspiration in that aspect as well?
Yes, as I realized the platform that I, you know, developed over the years, I realized it's time for me to get back, and that's when I formed Team LeGrand in the spring of 2013 with the Christopher and David Dana Reed Foundation. And it was my time now to help on the research aspect to raise money to find a cure for this injury. And as you know, Dustin, from the big idea from what you guys have done, that's been our main initiative to get more people implanted with the epidural stimulation. And, you know, that's a huge goal of mine to do. Use my platform the best way possible to keep on raising money and raising awareness for this injury. Because I tell people all the time, this injury doesn't discriminate from anybody. It can happen to anybody at any given time. If you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. So, you know, somebody, you may know somebody that's paralyzed or may have a family member paralyzed, a friend, you know, so put yourself in their shoes and just think about the life that they have to go through now and the adjustments that they have to make. And, you know, let's shine light on this injury and keep on raising money for it.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's it's awesome, actually. I was telling Jameson that's how I got introduced to you was from my affiliation with the Christopher and Dana Reed Foundation. And you guys are doing some amazing things as well, like Team LeGrand. And, like, I was inspired when I first heard your story, man. It's amazing each injury because you don't know how difficult each level it is. You know, when I'm paralyzed at a T5, and then that day when I went to the Denver Broncos game when I met you for the first time, it's amazing the drive that you have and how you keep pushing forward. I mean, it's an inspiration for everybody else, man. I think that's what inspires me to keep going forward, man. So I think it's awesome. I mean, it's...
Well, it's honestly people like you that inspire me to see, you know, how you live your life. You know, that's how I want to be able to live my life one day. You know, I look at it and I say, you know, everybody, no matter how bad your situation may be, there is someone always out there that has it worse, no matter what. You know, I may not be able to lift my arms up, my hands or whatever, and, you know, brush my teeth or feed myself or scratch even, but I know there's people better than out there. You know, I have an amazing life. I'm truly blessed of the stuff that I've got, you know, gotten to do and just how healthy I am. And then I look at your situation. I'm like, look at him getting around on his own, living a life, you know, on his own, doing things like that. It's like, that's where I want to be one day. I want to get my arms back. I want to be able to take care of myself. I want to be able to travel by myself and not have to worry about nurses traveling with me. I want to be able to live on my own. And that's how I use you as inspiration.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, too. It's, you know, it's also very humbling each time you hear stuff, you know, other people's story of hopefully like what we're doing is inspiring and helping other people, because like you said, this is an injury that needs a light shined on it, because it's, you don't realize how your life is going until something like this happens and it changes everything.
Well, you know? I mean, like in his situation, you got a guy that's going, he's got aspirations of playing in the NFL and
yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore. I mean, life just changed. But I think the question I have, because I have full function in my body and I haven't been paralyzed before and sitting with Dustin, we've always talked about life paralysis. And we always talk about like the thing that holds people back or the one, you know, those moments where you sit there and you ponder whether you're going to give up or if you're just going to continue to drive. But I mean, do you have that thought, or when did you have that thought, or what keeps you pumping, man? What keeps you waking up every morning saying, today's going to be a better day?
You know, when I got hurt, I was 20 years old, and I said to myself, I do not want to live a whole life of misery. And it's kind of, just as years went along, I'm now 26, and I'm like, I'm a young guy, I don't know. Want to live a miserable life, just sitting around, miserable, thinking about negative things. I've always been happy-go-lucky, love to be out, about talking to people, doing different things, experiencing different things. I've always been like that. And with this injury, this wasn't going to change me. You know, things are, of course, I have to do it a little bit differently. You know, I need a lot more help now, but I still want to do a lot of things, and that's what keeps me tripping. Like I said, I want to be able to live by myself. I want to be able to have a family. You know, I have kids and do stuff like that. So that's what keeps me motivated, keeps me driven, kind of like faith. You know, you're looking at something that you don't know, and it may happen, but you have faith that it will. And that's my faith in God, and my faith in myself and everybody around me, all my support system believing in me. It's like all these people that look up to me, how can I let them down if I give up? You know, this is like a responsibility now.
Yeah,
for sure. And so, Eric, just on a side note, so tell us a little bit, like, how does your day start from the beginning to the end? Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing right now?
Well, right now, today I had a nice, easy day. I just had to do a bunch of emails and stuff for my foundation and a few phone calls and try to set up meetings and stuff like that. So today was pretty easy, but depending on some days I got to get up at 7 o'clock to be somewhere for maybe a TV show or a radio interview or a speaking engagement or something. My normal day, I usually don't have to be up until 9 o'clock, which is nice. I get myself ready, which is about a 2-hour process with my nurses. I do a few emails and phone calls and eat lunch, and I'm out the door and I'm headed to therapy. It takes me about 45 minutes to get to therapy, so I leave around 12:15, get to therapy at 1, and then I get done at 3 and I'm at home until 4 o'clock. From there, at 4 o'clock, I come back, answer the emails and stuff in the afternoon, things like that. And then at night, sometimes I may have a speaking engagement in the afternoon or in the evening time or an event in the evening time. Every day is a different day for me, but usually run around. Then I have time with my friends. Like last night, I was able to go to dinner with a few friends. So all depending on my schedule, usually I had something to do every single day.
Man, you are nonstop. Man. It's like the Energizer Bunny over here.
Yeah, I do it while I'm young, man.
Seriously. I'm thinking to myself, because I just turned 34, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, man, I would fall asleep or I would be begging for a nap about halfway through that day.
Well, that's funny that you said this. For some reason, though, as soon as I get in the car, I am out cold.
Well, I'm sure, man. I mean, that's quite the day.
I'm telling you, this wheelchair is like a car seat for babies. As soon as we get it going, I am gone. See, I'll be in the middle of a conversation with you, middle of my sentence, and knock out. My friends laugh at me, take pictures of me all the time. It's ridiculous.
See, that's what you're going to do now. See, now all these people are going to listen to this podcast and be looking back at their kid, and they're going to be passed out, and it's never going to go away. That vision's never going away. They're going to think, wait, Eric just called his wheelchair a car seat. Now every time I see my kid in a car seat, that's all I'm going to think about.
That's hilarious.
Man, well, I mean, it's... You know, I can't tell you how. I mean, for one thing, I've never met you before, but talking with you for the last 20 minutes, I feel you're probably one of the more personal people I think I've ever been in contact with. As open as you are and willing to discuss things, man, it's being over the phone and meeting you this way, you're a very attracting spirit, man. Like, it's just, you can't help but want to learn more. Like, I got to give you kudos to that, man. You're very positive.
I'm glad you said that, because that's something that I tried. I was like that before my injury. Everyone always said that, you know, very personable, easy to talk to, just want to learn more. And I said, when I got hurt, I want to keep that. I still want, you know, this is my personality. This is who I am. You know, this is, you know, that live spirit, the one that comes in. Well, you know, I come in the room, I want to be the light in the room, and everyone, you know, just want to have a good time and just forget about all the bad things that are going on in life, you know?
So what's, you know, we're getting ready to close up here, unless you got
no, it's
what's a message that you want to give out to people? You know, this is kind of your front right now to kind of say what you want to say, and then we'll kind of close with that. But, you know, what's a message for all the people out there you'd like to give out?
I try to tell people, you know, keep on believing in the process and trusting the process, you know, keep on supporting this cause. You know, it may not happen tomorrow, you know, it may not happen as fast as we want it to happen. But with technology nowadays, it's crazy to think where we could be in 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, shoot, 5 years from now.
Right.
I think about it all the time. When I first got hurt, when I had a BlackBerry Curve, there was no Twitter, no Instagram. Now, look at social media. It runs this world, and we're on iPhone 7. Look how fast, you know, how fast it's been since then. So I said, look where technology has been in the 6 years I've been hurt. I can't wait to see where it is in the next 6 years, you know. So, I mean,
yeah.
Crazy. So keep on believing and keep on supporting. And I truly believe in our lifetime, man, we're going to walk again. We're going to find a cure for this injury.
Yeah, I believe it too. Well, Eric, I appreciate you taking some time out of the day to get on here and talk with us, man. So I guess as we end it out, why don't you give us your pick for the Super Bowl?
Man, I got 5 teammates in the Super Bowl, so three of them already got Super Bowl rings with the Patriots. I got to go with my man. I grew up with playing football since we were 10 years old. Muhammad Sanu, man, on the Falcons. I need to.
There we go, boy. There we go. See, that's where I'm going. I'm going to Atlanta. You got to talk this other guy out of the Patriots, though.
So. Yeah. Well, yeah.
I wish our Broncos go for back to back wins.
No. Our Broncos, they'll be back next year. Yeah. See, he's a Broncos fan.
Hey, all I gotta say to both of you is that my Titans won.
Yeah. So
all I gotta say to both of you is that my Titans beat your Broncos. That's all I gotta say to both of you.
Oh yeah.
I'm a Titan fan, man. I grew up, my family grew up in Houston, so I grew up watching the Oilers, so I followed the team.
Yeah, you guys got us this year. It was all
beautiful. Yeah, you know. You guys got the ring, I get that. You guys got the ship, but it's all right. I'm hoping at some point.
No, thanks again, Eric, and like I said, I look forward to talking to you again, and I appreciate the time, and you know, have a good evening, man.
Hey, thank you guys. I truly appreciate it.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right.
Like, that was awesome. Like, that, I mean, just the first person he sees. Because, like, see, we think, like, you know, the first person he sees, like, you know, guys are coming over, they're wanting to celebrate. And then they realize real quick, there's nothing to celebrate there. I kind of feel left out, but this is really cool.
You see,
this is really cool because I'm like, that's a moment that you can't duplicate. Like, that is so cool.
And that means a lot, you know, and actually, and I understand that. So that's where I get a lot of my drive from. Like, people want this because it improves their health. We know how struggling the life is in your health, like the other podcast that we want to talk about. But when you see someone who's paralyzed, you know, and he's out there just going to therapy, he's, like he said, he's trying to shine a light on spinal cord injuries to show the world that, hey, there's things happening and we just got to.
Well, he brought up a valid point too, man. It's like, it's not prejudice. Like, it will go after whatever it wants to go after.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're 2 years old all the way up to 90 years old. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter what race you are. It will change your life regardless.
Yeah.
Thank you again, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of Shilcox Happens. You know, we are always excited for the interviews and always excited for these conversations that we get to have with a lot of amazing people. So continue to stay tuned and continue to tune into some of these great interviews that we are lucky to have. And with that, we hope to hear you on the next episode.
All right, everyone. Thank you again for listening to our podcast. If you would like to be on our podcast and have a story that that you want to get out there, visit us at www.dustinshilcox.com. Or private message us on Facebook, and we'd love to have you on the show.